नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So I met Swayam Bhagavan in Das, not Swayam Bhagavan, but Swayam Bhagavan Das in Mayapur. And Swayam Bhagavan asked me, well, what would the topic of the lecture be? And I said something like, what would you like to talk about? He said, I said, well, we'll talk about pure devotional service and nothing else, right? And absolutely nothing else. But then I came and I saw that the topic had become materialism versus, or materialistic life versus pure devotional service. But I said before, I will talk only about pure devotional service. Because what is there to say about materialistic life? Everybody knows everything. There's nothing I want to say about that. It's just a waste of time. So pure devotional service is a wonderful activity. Because it is at that stage that one is no longer divided. Vyavasyatmika buddhir ekaha kurunandana. It is said that Bahushaki anantascha. In this material world, we are bahusaka. That we become branched out in so many different things. This interest, that interest, more and more things. Everything creates more and more complications, like a branch, and many sub-branches come from it. Just like someone who was single, and then he becomes married, and then children come, and in the end, he cannot imagine how he could survive when he was single, on such little money. How was it possible? How could I do it? How could I live like that? Now we need so much. This is an example of how one's activities are branching out everywhere, in all directions. But devotional service is vyavasyatmika buddhir. One becomes fixed upon Krishna, and everything serves the purpose of Krishna. Everything means that Rishikena Rishikesa Shevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Only satisfaction of Krishna. That means that we have to give up all attachments. It is said Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesa Shevanam Bhakti Ruchate. The Upadi are the designations or the identifications. Everyone has some identifications. One can say, I am from Mumbai or from Maharashtra or something like that, at least from India. Identification. Why are we from Mumbai or Maharashtra or India? We are not. Our body may be from there, but we are not that body. So what have we got to do with that designation? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And in so many ways, all the designations belong to the body. That is the point. So as soon as one is realizing truly that he's not the body, that means the designations also disappear. Sometimes we see a devotee walking around with a t-shirt. You're not this body, eternal spirit soul. And those are nice t-shirts. But yet a t-shirt is not enough. One has to take the consequences of this t-shirt. And the consequences of the t-shirt are sarvul padi vinir muktam, that whatever designation belongs to my body is not very important. Very secondary. Very secondary. It doesn't have much meaning. That's the next thing. If we're not the body, then what is the importance of the body? Okay, we have it. All right, we use it. That's about it. We have so many things, we use them. But how important are they? But somehow or other, we become absorbed. Absorbed in bodily consciousness. And bodily consciousness is described as I and mine. Not only I, but also mine, my possessions. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description where these sages have assembled and they are asking questions to Lord Brahma. So the question that they're asking is the following question. It said, this world is full of so many objects. And they said, why is it that the mind goes into the objects and that the objects go into the mind? That is a big question. And Lord Brahma had difficulty answering the question. Because Lord Brahma said, I'm subjected to the same thing. It happens to me as well. So the question was then answered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is the nature of the material energy. The nature of the mind is to enter into the things, and then the things enter into the mind. I sometimes give an example of this point. If you take some money and you lock it in a box, you're not only locking the money in the box, you're also locking a portion of your mind in the box. Each time, you may have so many keys, and with each lock, part of your mind is locked also. So many things. You can think of what you locked. You locked your house, you locked your bike, you locked your car, you locked your money away, everything. And with each thing, a bit of the mind is there. It's locked. It's all right. Like that. So in this way, our mind becomes preoccupied with so many things. But the devotee is only preoccupied with Krishna. And then can take the material energy and use it in the service of Krishna. Then it is fine. It is said that two types of detachment are there. Phalgu Vairagya and Yukta Vairagya. This Phalgu Vairagya, the word Phalgu Vairagya is referring to a hidden Vairagya. Phalgu means hidden. Hidden. Just like the Phalguna River in Bihar. I don't know if you went there to Gaya. I did, and I went to that famous Phalguna River, and there was no water. I came to the river, there was not a drop, a dry river. But actually, people said, if you dig a little bit, you will find water, because it's an underground river, and it's about 2-3 feet underground, there is water, right? Flowing underground. But on the top, only sand, nothing is there. Falguna Nadi. So this Falgu Vairagya is hidden. Everything is hidden. The attachment is hidden. We give up so many things, but the attachment still remains. It's just, I don't know if in Bombay, in the newspaper, you have comics of Hagar and Helga. But if you don't have, I will tell you. Hagar is a Viking. and his wife Helga, of course, also big lady. And every day, Hagar had to wash the dishes. His wife was very heavy, and every day she was big, and he had nothing to say in the house. He had to wash the dishes. So one day, enough was enough. So Hagar decided to go and go into the mountains, climb a mountain and look for a guru. Because they say gurus sit on mountain tops, right? At least in the comics they say. So he climbed up the mountain. He came high on the mountain, and there was a sage sitting in front of a cave, and he asked him, he said, "Oh, my dear sage, please tell me, what is the key to happiness?" The sage said, give up the association of women." Hagar said, "I've always known it." "I've always known it," he said. "I've always known it." And he went back down. Then a voice came from the cave and said, "Who are you talking to?" And there was the wife of the sage, right? And she called him in the cave and she said, "Go wash the dishes." Of course, ladies, forgive me, I'm not criticizing ladies in general. This is just a comic, right? Not every lady is necessarily like that. But still, the story illustrates something. The interesting point in the story is not so much that we are looking here at the nature of women, ha 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 ha, right? But rather that we are looking at the nature of the sage. And the nature of the sage is really, you can't live with them and you can't live without them. Because he was telling Hagar, give up women. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it himself. He couldn't do it. That's the real point of the story. The real point of the story is he couldn't do it. So we know that predicament. The predicament where, on the one hand, we know that we should not be so materially entangled. We know that actually we should give this whole life to Krishna. We know that we should engage in pure devotional service. We know that we should be anyabilasita sunyam, devoid of any other desire than the desire to serve Krishna. We know. We know that Srila Prabhupada was definitely right. We know there was no greater personality than him. He was the perfect example of one who had no other interest than to serve Krishna, and we know that we should be like that. But we cannot do it. We cannot do it. Just as Bhagavad Gita, at the very end, it says, "Sarva dharmam parityaya mamikam saranam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yami ma sucha." Just give up everything and surrender unto me, Krishna says. Are Baba. To kaisa chalega, huh? Anyway, you know, when he says everything, then, you know, 60% is quite good. And even 50 is not bad. 40 is quite a lot. 35 is one third surrender. It is quite a bit, actually, if you think about it. And so that should do. That should do. Chalega, chalega, chalega. So this tendency is there to bargain. Well, you know, he said 100, so we'll give him 40. Just as if we are in the marketplace, they say 10 rupees. We say, okay, I give you 3 rupees. I'm offering 3. And at the end, we settle for 4. I think, all right, that's ho gaya. So like that, we want to bargain. We want to bargain. But there is no bargain. Surrender means surrender. We say, yes, okay, but what if I surrender? It is a risky thing. You see, I come to Krishna consciousness, I find out about your philosophy, you ask me to surrender. Now, what if I surrender? What if I give up all everything? And then what if I don't get the higher spiritual experience? Then I've given up the material thing and I'm not getting the higher thing, then where will I be? Nowhere. I have a story for you. There was a football team. They were playing in a foreign country, somewhere South America. They were practicing, and just near the football stadium there was a volcano. Somehow or other there was a sudden eruption and explosion, and the entire team which was training flew in the air, and also the trainer was flying. So the trainer felt himself swept up in the air and he was flying, and then he saw the roof of the stadium coming closer and closer, and the edge of the roof, and it was right in front of him. And instinctively, his hands just grabbed on to the edge of the roof. And he was hanging there. And he thought, my God, I am saved. And he was hanging there. And then he was thinking again, but what now? And he tried to climb on the roof, but he couldn't do it. By no means could he do it. So he realized, I'm not really saved. I'm hanging here in a most precarious position. And he started praying, oh my dear God, oh my dear God, my dear God, please help me, help me. He was hanging there. No, nothing happened. Then suddenly behind him there was a voice, need any help? Who are you? I am God. Oh God, please, please help me, help me. All right, I will help you. Just let go of the roof and I will catch you. Can't you catch me first and then I'll let go of the roof? That's us, isn't it? That's us. We just don't want to give up. We don't want to give up. Yes, we want to. But Krishna, first give me this higher experience. Just show yourself to me, talk to me and all these things. And then I'll give up. You give me some prem, then I'll give up. You give me this higher experience, then I'll give up immediately. No. Krishna says, Sarva Dharmam Parityaya, first you give up, then I will deliver you from all your sinful reactions. Oh, but that is very risky. Very risky. And in this way, we are holding on and we are staying away from pure devotional service. We're not giving our life in pure devotional service to Krishna. Although we know we should, we really do, we know. We know this material life is really, it's all temporary. It doesn't really satisfy. But on the other hand, oh, it's so hard to give up. So hard. This is our predicament. Srimad Bhagavatam also says, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaraditi vrena bhakti yogena yayeta purusham param. Which means that whether you have material desire or whether you don't have material desire, just surrender and apply yourself with full force to devotional service, to pure devotional service, it says. But how can you engage in pure devotional service if you have material desire? If you have material desire, how there's a question of pure devotional service? Pure devotional service, doesn't it mean no material desire? No, this verse is speaking about applying ourselves to the pure, unalloyed process of devotional service. It says, in other words, if you have material desire or not, doesn't matter, still apply yourself to pure devotional service. Now let me translate that into something a little more practical. What does that mean? It means that basically if you have material desires, what do? Young boy sees young girl, his heart goes ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. His eyes go What do you do when that happens? You hold on to the hand of a friend. Two brahmacharis are sitting here holding on to each other. What do you do when that happens? Okay, what do you do when that happens? Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. What do you do? Yes, please. You are the chosen one. Ah. Aha, no. You, yes, you. Yes, you. What do you do? You may talk to her. And what are you going to say to her? Please. Huh? What did you say? He can't say. I see. It's a secret. It's a private thing. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, well, now I'll ask one of the brahmacharis. When such a thing happens, you're sitting right in front, and bright saffron. He's trying to disappear in the ground, look back. No. Okay. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Then what are you going to do? He'll run away. Okay. But can you run away from your mind? How long can you run away? You run away. Okay. You run. And then your mind is still there. And then what? Okay, other brahmachari. Any brahmacharis to help him? What do we do? Huh? Call her to Krishna? Call out to Krishna. Oh, call out to Krishna. call out to Krishna. Yeah, that's one. That's a good solution. Good solution. Not bad. Not bad. Better than running away. Yeah, well, my suggestion is a simple one, you know. What do you do, right? The answer is very simple. Nothing. Just nothing. Why would you do something? But each time you have a material desire. Oh my God, I have a material desire. Oh no, I have hundreds of material desires. Oh no, but I have to do something about this. No, oh, my material desires. Forget about it. Just do nothing. Nothing. What do? Zilch. Nothing. Well, I have another analogy for you. If you can't do nothing, right, then take your material desires, take an empty box, put your material desires in the box, tie up that box, write on it in big letters, my material desires. Take that box, put the box on the shelf, and leave it there, and do some service for Krishna. Then, you know, one day, Time goes by, and sometimes you look at your box. Ah, my material desires are there. Yes. And then one day, you don't have so much service. Ah, one day, you're not so busy. Then you think, today, I'm going to play with my material desires. You go up to the shelf, you take the box down, you look inside. Half your material desires are gone! Who stole my material desires? Who do you think stole your material desires? Haven't you heard that Krishna is a thief? You don't know? Huh? Everybody knows that he has a habit of stealing. So Krishna steals away these material desires. He steals them away. So, but we are so worried. What about my material desires, my material desires, my material desires? Do a little devotional service and Krishna steals all these material desires away. But what about my material desires? But what about my material desires? Oh, what about them? Half already stolen, half already gone. Do a little more service. All will be gone very soon. All will be gone. So yes, but you know, that's all fine, but I've seen devotees, they have practiced for 20 years and still they have material desires. And what about that? Huh? 30 years we have seen, huh? And they did a lot of service and still they had material desires. So I don't know. You know, you say devotional service and it all goes away real quick, but in practical reality, we see cases where it's a little different. So, what to do? Yes, it is said, Bhavana jammane kariyari shravana kirtanam devutana paya padi prema danan. That one may keep on chanting this holy name for many, many births and still not get the desired success of this chanting. For many, many births one may chant and still not get the desired success of this chanting if one keeps on committing offenses against the holy name. This is the key. This is our problem. Not our material desires, but our problem is we are not chanting properly. First offense is we blaspheme the devotees. Criticize the devotees. This is the first offense against the holy name. These devotees, they always, you know, they're not as pure as they look, you know. Tell you the inside story, right? Do you see that? You think that, Swami, but you know. So many things we can say. So many things we can criticize. Right? We find fault. But Krishna, he doesn't see the fault. Krishna is Adosha Darshi. Krishna, he doesn't see any fault. He doesn't see. Why? Just like a mother, right? Mother, her child, her baby, her bacha, her murti, her everything. She doesn't see any fault. Everyone else is saying, oh my God, look at it. The mother says, ah, my dear baby. He's so nice, yes. And we all go like, oh my God, the little monster. And she... And she is very convinced he is wonderful, because of love. Then, so Krishna, in the same way, when Krishna sees that his devotee is rendering service, then Krishna, it is said, his heart becomes touched. If you worship Krishna and you want mukti, if you do tapasya and make a great endeavor, tatastu, you will get it. Mukti dadati. It says, mukti I will give you. Bhakti nakarichit. But bhakti, no. That I will not give you. Bhakti, I'm hiding behind my back. That I'm hiding from you. No. Mukti, you take it. Take. Lilo. Mukti mein le aega. Bahut sasta, bariya cheez hai. Aap le lije. Jao. Mukti to mil jayega. Lekin bhakti to nahi mil jata hai. Bilkul nahi. Bhakti mere paas koi nahi hai. It is Krishna is hiding the bhakti behind his back. Why? He says, because this bhakti, it is purchasing me. Through bhakti, I become purchased. Because if we become the servant of Krishna, not only are we becoming the servant of Krishna, but Krishna becomes the servant of his devotee. Sadunam hridayam mayam, sadunam hridayam traham matanyate na janati. That the devotee is always in the heart of Krishna, and Krishna is always in the heart of the devotee. In this way, there's this intimate relationship. Both are serving each other. So when Krishna sees this devotee has served me, he has served me so nicely, and now someone is criticizing him. Oof. Krishna cannot tolerate that. That he cannot tolerate. He will withdraw his mercy. Like that, but we are in this habit of finding faults in others. When I was a child, my mother used to tell me one story. It was about two sisters. And when they were speaking, when one of the sisters was speaking, roses would come from her mouth. And when the other sister would open her mouth, frogs would jump out every time. Right? So in my case, I tried to make roses come, speak very sweet and nice, but sometimes accidentally a frog jumps out. Boing, doing, then. I think I'm not the only one who has this frog problem. I think all of us have sometimes a moment when some frog is jumping out of our mouth. And then it's quite embarrassing, because once the frog has jumped, what to do? There it is for everyone to see. You can't put it back. And so this is a problem. The tendency to gossip, the tendency to criticize, the tendency to find fault is very deep in us. Especially new people, they always see the shortcoming. Is he a pure devotee? He may be putting saffron, but what about the condition of his heart? Like that, with X-ray looks, we are trying to look and see if he's really a pure devotee. Doubt. Because doubt is ruling the hearts of those who are neophytes in spiritual life. The neophyte is known as Kanista, as one who has weak faith. Kamala Shraddha, Srila Rupa Goswami says. He has weak faith. So therefore he has doubt. Doubt in everything. How do you know that it's all true? How do you know that Krishna really exists? That it's not just a statue? How do you know? Do you really know? Have you seen Krishna? Have you? No? Then how do you know? Therefore, what I want to ask you today, have you seen Krishna? Sweating. Have you? Put a microphone under your nose. Well, you know, have you? You see, then how do you know? It's all true. How do we know? Doubt. Just some mythology. Swamiji, it is all mythology. This ancient mythology, the nice stories from the Puranas, but it is just mythology. What is your proof? Some atheist will say, again and again, we meet such atheists. How can we prove? Who has seen Krishna? Then, if you didn't see him, how do you know? One can answer in different ways. One can say, well, maybe I have not seen the face of Krishna, but I have seen the hand of Krishna. Ah. That's one way of saying. Ah. Because the hand of Krishna, yes, I've seen so many times. So many things have happened in my life that were more than chance. More than chance. And you may not accept, but I do. I do. Yes, just like how I became a devotee, you see, I joined a little later than most other of our sannyasis because I didn't want to be a Hare Krishna. I thought that's too much, walking around in a dress like that and shave all my hair. I thought, forget it. That I'm not going to do that. It's too extreme. Too extreme. There must be something spiritual that is a little less extreme than that. So I had decided, forget it. I'm not going to have anything to do with these fellows. And I saw them. They were coming to my town. The first time I saw them, I saw this gray van come into the town. And there was a door. It flapped open at the back. And many, many, many little pink men came out. Too many. Too many for one van. More than logical. So I was thinking, what is it? Is it a van or a spaceship disguised? Right? Where are they coming from? From another planet? I saw them coming in the street. They were coming closer. I quickly went into a shop and I looked from behind the glass. And someone said, it's a dangerous religious cult. I thought, yes, they look dangerous. I was convinced they were dangerous. Then I saw them on a television program. And they told me, and they told the public what their beliefs were. No fish, meat or eggs. No gambling. No intoxication. No illicit sex. Then I knew they were dangerous. It was confirmed. Yes. So I didn't want to have anything to do with these guys. Forget it, you know. Not me. Then I saw they were selling books in the streets. And in those days, the devotees, they would be shaved, like very bright, freshly shaved. And then when they would go on book distribution, they would put a wig, false hair. Right? So I could see it. There is one, right? Too much hair, I could see, false. There is one, false, right? So in this way, I saw all the false. I saw all the Hare Krishnas, easy. So when I saw them, I would just walk around them and avoid them. So they never sold me a book, not even in the marathon. Never. No way. I escaped them every time. I was good at it. But then, of course, if you don't get involved with the Hare Krishnas, as a young boy, what's going to happen to you? You get a girlfriend. So I got a girlfriend. And that girlfriend, she had a dog. And the dog's name? Krishna. What can I say? So then I was every night walking with this dog, calling this dog, and the dog wouldn't come. So I would be calling out again and again, Krishna! Very loud, and do Harinam around the block every night. Yes. Anyway, just little story for you. This is the true story. You couldn't make it up. Right? So you can see how Krishna, you can see Krishna's hand in there. You can see Krishna's hand. Every one of you can see how Krishna was playing with me. I can see Krishna's hand. Not difficult to see. I gave you one example of how we can see Krishna's hand. In so many ways we can see Krishna's hand again and again in everything. So many things happen. It is not coincidence. And people may say, that is no proof. We don't care if it's proof for you, but it's proof enough for me. Proof enough for me. So then we have some initial faith. Then we hear more about scripture.
Like, yes, I am from the Western country, and we have a famous artist, Michelangelo, and he painted a famous painting of God, and his God is sitting on a cloud. He's an old man with a white beard, and he looks very sour. Of course, you know, he must have some rheumatism or something, so I think God had a bad day. Yeah? He got out of bed that morning and his back was aching very bad because he looks really in a mean mood, you know, very sour. And he's pointing down, waiting to catch some sinner. Right?
So they projected to us this image of God. Right?
Said, well, I don't know about this. But then when we saw a picture of Krishna, the Lord is enjoying. The Lord is very beautiful. The Lord is young. The Lord is having amazing pastimes and so on. And say, well, that makes a lot of sense. That makes sense. So the more we hear about Krishna, the more it makes sense. Why would God be old? If I was God, I wouldn't be old. Forget it. Right? Who wants to be old? If you can't choose, you'll be young. Who wants to be ugly? Right?
Like, there is one person in South India with a lot of hair who claims that he's God, right? That he's an incarnation of God, right? And, well, it is said that every incarnation is embodying a special quality of Krishna. Just like it is said, Balaram, he is embodying the beauty of Krishna. Then you have Maharaj Prithu, Bhupalana Shakti, the power to protect the earth. So we say that this person in South India, if he's really an incarnation of God, then he must be the incarnation of God's ugliness. Because if we compare him to Krishna, right, then Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful and attractive. Right? Very attractive. So Krishna, in this way also, we are convinced. We get very convinced. We hear more and more about Krishna. We hear he lifted Govardhan Hill. We hear how in the battle of Kurukshetra he was 125 years old and still looking young. All these things are convincing. We hear he had 16,108 wives. You try that.
That you cannot do. That you cannot do. But he can. Not only did he have 16,108 wives, but they were all happy also.
That's impossible, right? Even to make one wife happy is a very difficult thing. Virtually speaking, one can say impossible. Right? What to speak of 16,108? That is, for that you have to be God. Right? All this is quite convincing. Right? So we have so many reasons to put our faith in Krishna. So many reasons. We see the hand of Krishna through the scriptures. We get many logical descriptions about Krishna that make a lot of sense. And if we ourselves start following the injunctions of these scriptures in our own life, then we see that our life improves a lot. The quality of our life improves. That is further proof. And in this way, step by step, we are getting more and more arguments that convince us, yes, it works. Yes, it is the right thing. Yes, I am on the right way. Maybe one doesn't get full realization in a day, but step by step, we're coming closer and closer to the truth. Yes, five past eight. So step by step. So devotional service is a process of step by step. And step by step we are progressing towards Krishna. Now, tonight I'm leaving you. I am flying to Germany. Germany is another world, right? Another world. And in so many ways, Germany is different. And in one way that Germany is very different from India is the roads in Germany are very different than the roads in India. There are no potholes in the German roads. They don't have. The roads are like completely smooth. And there is no limit to the speed. Whereas in India, all traffic is quite slow, right? In Germany, it is very, very, very fast, right? Very fast. Like some cars can do 300 kilometers an hour. Right? That is the super fast. Medium fast is 200, and slow car in Germany is 150. That's very slow car. Yeah. So they have big highways and they have different lanes. Lanes for the slow cars and lanes for the fast cars. They have right side traffic, so they had a sign and it showed how on the right side of the road there was a whole line of turtles. They're walking on the right. And it said under the sign, turtles to the right. You know? So if you want to be a turtle, then on the right side of the road, and there you can be a turtle. Right? So they have a lane for the turtles. Right? So in this movement, pure devotional service, it is developed step by step. But, you know, different people take their step at a different speed. Some are in the turtle lane. And they go very slow and they say, oh, it is so difficult. I'm chanting already one round every day and it's such a struggle and I don't know. And I'm now on half a principle, but I'm working on it. The turtle lane, right? And then you have the fast lane, medium lane, right? So which lane do we want to be in? Oh. There is no problem. Even turtles are welcome. Welcome turtles, right? We will not deny any turtle to be a member of this movement, but we should know that when Srila Prabhupada came to preach this Krishna consciousness, that it was not his plan to make a movement of turtles. That was not his plan. Obviously, his plan was one lifetime. Please give me one lifetime. Just give me this one life, Prabhupada said, and go back to Godhead. This one life. So that meant one life follow the path of pure devotional service. Whether you have material desire or don't have material desire, that's not the issue. Simply, strictly follow the path of pure devotional service. Avoid committing the offenses against the holy name. Chant Hare Krishna. Don't bargain 16 rounds, no less, Prabhupada said. Oh, how can I chant 16 rounds? Prabhupada said, very simple. 4 rounds before meals and 4 rounds before taking rest. He said like that. He said when he was a householder, and he was engaged in his business, he was following that system. He said he was chanting 4 rounds before meals and 4 rounds before taking rest. Try. Prabhupada was as much a businessman as any other businessman. Working very hard. He had a family, but Prabhupada was chanting. Prabhupada was reading the books. Because we see that in his old age, he knew so many verses. At the old age, memory is finished. You cannot learn any new things. When you're old, you cannot memorize new things. Brain doesn't work. The only thing you can remember is something that you've practiced for a long time. That's still there. That stays.
Something you practice for a long time, all right, that stays, but everything else, finished. And you try and memorize something, oh, forget it, right? It's too much. So Prabhupada memorized so many verses, so we can understand that throughout his life, he must have regularly recited these verses, otherwise he could have never remembered them in his old age. It's not possible. Yes. So Prabhupada did it. This is the wonderful example that we see in Srila Prabhupada. He was not some sort of superman whose life was very easy. No. He lived a life like everyone else. He was Mr. Day. He was working in a pharmacy business, wholesale. He was having a family, sons and daughters, four children. He had so many responsibilities. They had a big need for money. They were always asking him more, more. He worked so hard. Some business recess was there, some problems. He struggled. But spiritual life carried forward. This is the ultimate test. The ultimate test everyone has. Because everyone always has an excuse. Everyone can say. I can say, well, for me it's difficult because I'm Dutch. Someone can say, well, for me it's difficult because I'm American. You can say it's difficult because you're Indian. Right? Like that. We start with that excuse. That's a good excuse. Yeah? Next excuse is my health. Good excuse. So many excuses. But this is the one test we have to pass. The only thing we have to pass is that we somehow or other do it. We take shelter of what Prabhupada wanted us to do. Simply that. Simply that. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are the teachings to Srila Rupa Goswami, Madhya Lila chapter 19. And in the beginning, there is an interesting description. It gives a description of so many species of life. Then it gives a description of the human forms of life. And then it said of so many human beings, only very few are devotees. It said, very few are following Vedic culture. And it said, out of those who are following Vedic culture, most are rendering lip service, it is said. Lip service. So, how is this Krishna consciousness movement different? How is it different? It is different that we are not meant to just render lip service. That we are not just meant to, say, Jai Sri Krishna, Jai, 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 Jai Bhagavan, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Anandanan, Hari Hari. And all that. No? Not all these things. But in this movement, not that there is a few who are the devotees and everyone else is saying, Jai, Jai, Hari Bol, Guruji, 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 Anand. And we give you big seat and big garlands as long as we don't have to follow. We just come and we say, Jai, Jai, Guru, Jai, Guru, Jai, Guru. And you are the pure devotee and we don't have to be. And you give us asirbad? No. Here, in this movement of Lord Chaitanya, everyone has to do it. Everyone, irregardless of where he is, irregardless whether he is a brahmachari, irregardless whether he is a grihastha, irregardless whether he is single, irregardless whether he is a sannyasi or not, everyone must chant the holy name. Everyone must chant a minimum of 16 rounds. Everyone must follow four regulative principles. Everyone. We give everyone some time to come there. We will not beat you if you cannot do it. Although, if you take too long, maybe. But everyone
is meant to follow these principles. Everyone is meant to chant 16 rounds. What, one devotee asked, but what if a devotee just cannot finish 16 rounds? What if a devotee cannot chant 16 rounds?
Prabhupada said, then he's an animal. Then he's an animal. He's not even a human being. Yeah? Yes. So we must understand that with that chanting and with these four regulative principles, that's where we come. That's the minimum level. We must come to that. We must come to that. It's not good enough to come and to not come to that. That we must reach. We take some time to practice. Abhyasa yogi yuktena chaitasananya gamina. Abhyas teek hai, thora abhyas lenge. They can kitna samay deta vaya. I just came. Yes, we take some time, but we must progress. Not going back, only forward. No one should step backwards. Take a step closer to live according to the desire of Krishna and maintain it. That's the first thing. Maintain it. Don't take a step back. Maintain it. And then take another step. Maintain it also. And in this way we will progress. Don't step back. Maintain it. And in this way, step by step, we will progress towards pure devotional service. And as we are doing, the pleasure will increase step by step. The taste will increase day by day. Because without this devotional service, there is no meaning to life. Just look at Bombay or Mumbai. I have to adjust now. Mumbai. So much passion. So much passion. A very passionate place. People are so desperately trying to enjoy. Are people very happy in this place? Is it a very happy place? So much suffering, actually. So much suffering. So many people. Rich and poor are suffering. So much suffering. So many people are poor, suffering. And the rich, they cannot control themselves. They take drugs, alcohol, whatnot. Bollywood movie. Right? So it's not a happy place. But by this Krishna consciousness, our happiness will increase day by day. Sometimes people say, yes, I know you are right. I agree. I know you are right. But spiritual life is so difficult. Our answer to that is this. Spiritual life may be difficult, but material life is impossible. That's it. So there's no alternative. Material life is impossible. Only Krishna consciousness will work. So I'll end with that. Material life is impossible. So I've finally fulfilled the title after all. Material life versus spiritual life. It's easy. Spiritual life may be difficult, but material life is impossible. Any question? Any comments? Yes. A little louder, please.
But we? But then your iPod, right? The hard disk crashes. Everything is gone.
Has it happened to you yet? Everything gone. Oh my God. Someone steals your motorbike. You come there and it's gone. It's gone. Has it happened to some people? Huh? Has it happened? It happens every day. It happens every day. Huh? In one city, there was a man, he spent all his money on buying a brand new car, and he didn't even have money to do an anti-theft insurance on the car. Sure enough, on the first day, they stole the car. All he had left was the key. And he felt so disturbed by it that during his lunch break, he would go to parking lots and look for cars of the same make. And he thought maybe they spray painted it another color. And I just try if the lock works. And if it works, then I know it's my car. And he's just trying every day to see if the key would work. Never worked. He still had the key. And you think, well, you know, such things you hear about, you read about in a newspaper, but they don't happen to normal people. Huh? That will never happen to me. That only happens in the movies. I used to think like that. I used to think that there is real life and then there are the movies, and I used to think the movies are more crazy than real life. But now I know better. I know that real life is much more crazy than the movies. The things that happen in real life. Whew. Shall I tell you what happened to me just now when I was in Mayapur? I'm just coming from Mayapur. And the last morning, we are in the room. At 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm in the room. And, no, 6. What? You were not there. 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm in the room, and suddenly there is a lot of noise in the room. Yeah? A lot of noise. And the floor, it just breaks like that. And the tiles, there's tiles on the floor, and the tiles just come up, and some pieces start flying, and a hole in the middle of the room. It's like a crack, and the tiles are all standing up like this. I'm on the top story, and I'm thinking, earthquake. I was like, get out of here. But this was so, there was nothing I could do. I think, like, well, Krishna, here I may go. Right? But it's all right. Maybe some mild tremor. I think it was something earthquake. But it was a very strange experience. The last thing you expect, if we would sit here and suddenly the floor burst open, huh? How would you feel? It's like in the movies, right? I think such things don't happen in real life. But it just happened to me 3 days ago. Hmm? 3 days ago this happened. That was an experience. Huh? I don't know what Krishna was trying to tell me, but I'm still thinking about it. But it was interesting. Huh? You never know in this world what's going to happen next. That I realized once again. Anything can happen any moment. So we should not become so bewildered by the illusory energy. I come from West is Best, and there, right, in West is Best, there is the illusion is very perfected. Right? That's their business, to make the illusion very, very refined and nice.
But it's all temporary. When we are attracted to a member of the opposite sex, just remember, we're not the body. Just remember, right? It's all temporary. It will not give real happiness. How to avoid offenses criticizing devotees? First, nama aparat. Even after hearing so many times, its dangerous effects. It's difficult to avoid. Why? Because we are sinful. Because we have engaged in so many sinful activities, and therefore we have in the past so many times criticized that the seeds of all these reactions are in our heart. Therefore the tendency is there. How can we overcome this tendency? Srila Rupa Goswami says that we should not just avoid, try to avoid nama aparat, but he says, not only try to avoid criticizing the Vaishnavas, but the best thing is, let's glorify the Vaishnavas. So the best way to overcome criticism is practicing glorification. Give credit. There was a little management book called The 1 Minute Manager. And in there, there were so many things that were all rubbish, but there was one thing that was interesting. And that was that this manager, he was different than other managers. Because usually a manager spends his time looking at people, and you know, and then he catches someone doing something wrong, and he goes, how many times do I have to tell you, you know? We don't do it like that in this office. We do it in another way. You know it very well, and you just did it again, right? Why are you always blowing it? That's the regular style, you know, right? But this manager, he was not catching people doing something wrong. His business was to catch his employees doing something right. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, but you know, if he really looked and then he found something. Yes, you did that so well. That was really well done. Well done. So if we also, instead of trying to catch people doing something wrong, we try to catch people doing something right, maybe then we'll overcome this tendency of criticizing. Devotee is grateful. And because we are grateful, we are satisfied. Because we realize, how much has Krishna given me already? How much mercy did Krishna give me? How kind has he been to me? Therefore, I'm so fortunate. So fortunate. How much mercy has Krishna given to me? Therefore, devotee is satisfied. But how little have I done for Krishna? How little have I done? Practically nothing. I must somehow or other try and improve and do more for Krishna. More. I must chant for his pleasure. I must chant better. I must serve him in so many ways, like that. But first is gratefulness. We're grateful. If we're grateful, then automatically we're satisfied. But if we're not grateful, then we'll never be satisfied. How much mercy did we get?
Imagine how much mercy. Plenty of reason to be satisfied. Many papers are coming in. Maharaj, this lecture has been going on too long. You have to stop right now. Okay. If we have material desires, but they are intended to serve Radha Krishna, then having such material desires is wrong. They are not material desires. Material desires means Atmindriya Prithivancha, that we have desires to satisfy our own senses. Krishnendriya Prithicha, desires to satisfy the senses of Krishna, that's not material desire, that is spiritual desire. For that we can use material things. We want to put nice carved sandstone from Rajasthan on the temple for Krishna. Very costly. Very costly. But for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishnendriya. For the pleasure of Krishna. For spreading the glories of Krishna. Yeah? Everyone is saying, oh, this temple is so nice, so nice, so nice. That spreads the fame of Krishna. So it's Krishnendriya. So simple. Atmindriya and Krishnendriya. Atmindriya, our own senses. Krishnendriya, the senses of Krishna. Then you can take any material thing and use it for the senses of Krishna. That's perfect. That is spiritual. Very spiritual. My question is, many times when we preach and when we try to tell them about Krishna, they would say, Joe, I don't believe God. I worship God in my heart. Work is worship. And many more things. So how will you answer this question? Okay, then you just say, whatever you believe and don't believe, that's your personal thing. Right? That's your personal idea. But what do the scriptures say? Because in the scriptures we find the idea of God. We find the idea of God expressed in the scripture. What does he say? He doesn't say, work is worship. He doesn't say, he says, man mana bhava mad bhakto majaji mam namaskaru. He says, bow down to me, surrender your will unto me. That's what he is saying. Not work is worship, you do your thing. Yes, I'm doing my karma. I'm maintaining my family. I'm doing it all for him. I'm doing all for him. No, that is nonsense, right? One must simply... Who's your authority? If you are your own authority, one who is his own guru has a fool for a disciple. That's our answer.
Good luck.
One more. The cash memo. Bank of India, ATM. 41,721. Available balance.
I'm getting everything. I'm getting even the bank balance.
But if you give your bank balance to a sannyasi, then what does that mean? Does it mean you're giving it to Krishna?
It's a little hard to read.
Many says, no, I can't read it. Why, etc. Can you read this? Or you? Can you make sense of that?
You figure that out and then I'll start this one. What should our consciousness be at the time of death? How should we react to natural calamities plus terrorism, which just happened in Mumbai a few months ago? What should our consciousness be at the time of death? Antakala chamameva smaram muktva kalivram ya priyati samadbhavam yate nastiyati sansaya. We should remember Krishna at the time of death. But how to do it? We have to practice this remembrance. Otherwise, we cannot do it. Therefore, every day, we must practice remembrance of Krishna. Then at the time of death, we will remember Krishna. How should we react to natural calamities? We should understand that these are reactions to the sinful activities that people perform who live on the planet. It is a sign that the people on the planet are going against the will of God. Very clear. It's not just coincidence. No. The Lord is... We are going against the will of the Lord. That is what it means. And what about terrorism? It is a sign of the age of Kali. It is a sign how people are bitter, how people are desperate. It is a sign that government leaders are not protecting the people and are exploiting them. And as a reaction, those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance respond equally destructive and become terrorists. All these things are symptoms of the age of quarrel, the age of Kali. The only solution is Harinam, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva, 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 Nasteva Gatiranyata. Only the chanting of the holy name can solve this problem. Okay. Who? Yeah, it's difficult to figure out. Yeah, okay, I'll try and figure it out. I think what it says is that there are many people who are... Yeah, anyway, it's like... I think it is a question which is saying, can we know God? Many people are having doubts and something like that. If we have doubts in God, is that a form of criticizing? Yes, it is. It is a form of criticizing. But doubt is also a symptom of intelligence. We must investigate. So we can investigate. But after we hear good arguments, if we still keep on doubting, then it's criticism. Then it's criticism. If we hear Bhagavad Gita and we still keep on doubting, then it is criticism. Because Bhagavad Gita gives us all good answers. And if we cannot accept it, then it means we are envious. Then we are envious. So we must actually investigate Bhagavad Gita and then accept Bhagavad Gita and then readjust, change our life according to the instructions of the Gita. This is the way, and there is no other way, because the Gita are the words of Krishna, not anybody's idea, but the authorized way to live. Today, this is the month that we are speaking about Gita. And sometimes in a lecture, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, sometimes in a lecture I hold the Gita in the air and I say, what is this? If it's a Gita, what would you say? What is this? He would say, the words of God, because that's what I just said. And what would you say? Gita, what is it? It's a book, someone said. And I would say, no, it's not a book. The Gita is not a book. The Gita is a way of life. It's a way of life. Now it exists in book form. But it was only written down 5,000 years ago. It was previously orally delivered. But what the Gita really is a way of life. And we must take it like that. We must readjust our life according to the Gita.
With that, I thank you very much for coming. I thank you very much for your questions. We are packed up here in this hot, small room because construction is going on. It's a great pleasure to be here with you all in Chowpatty, and I hope that in the future we will be able to meet again in the newly air-conditioned temple, and you will all be comfortable, and I will bring my chadar, and we will be very happy. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.